I have to make a confession to you. When I got up this morning at about 5 o'clock in the morning, I went down to the kitchen and I had a bowl of spaghetti. I know. That says to me that I have no self-control whatsoever.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
How are you today? Don't answer. This is not that kind of thing. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. So don't answer. If I ask you a question, it's always rhetorical. I never expect a response from you. Same with the things in my personal life. If I talk to you and I ask you a question, I don't want you to respond to me. They're all rhetorical. I already know the answer. Whole bowl of spaghetti at like 5 o'clock in the morning? That's decadent. That's crazy. I put grated cheese on it too. Ooh, cheese. Cheese at 5 o'clock in the morning. Are you kidding me? Who does that? Supposed to have an egg, piece of toast, something like that. That's boring. Bowl of spaghetti? That's Italian. Only problem is now I don't feel so good. I kind of feel like I overate at 5 o'clock in the morning. So now I've got all day to work it off, so it's okay. I think when the show is over, I'm going to have another bowl of spaghetti just to teach myself a lesson. I don't know what that lesson is, but it's a teachable moment. When I do something wrong, I say to myself, Ron, did you learn anything from this? And the answer is, yes, of course I did. What did you learn? I don't know. Obama started that phrase, the teachable moment, when you make a mistake. That's not a mistake, it's a teachable moment. What, are you serious? It's a mistake. What are you talking about? The teachable moment is, try not to make that mistake again. Why are you throwing teachable moment into this thing? Oh, man. Did you hear about what Donald Trump, you know this guy Donald Trump, you ever hear him? He wants to do with our July 4th, he wants to turn it into a political display. Yeah, I know. He's got no brain.
I could while away the hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain. And my head, I'd be scratching while my thoughts were busy hatching if I only had a brain.
If only. It would be nice, wouldn't it? He's a stable genius. He's a very stable genius. He is. He's stable. He's got the papers to prove it from the Institute, from the asylum. We hereby release Donald Trump. He apparently is a very stable genius. That's what they said. Anyway, what Donald is doing is he's turning our July 4th into a fiasco. I know. What he does is he takes this country's patriotism and he uses it as a weapon and a tool in order to advance his own psyche. That's what he's doing with July 4th. The Parks Department is diverting $2.5 million, which was earmarked to make the parks and recreation facilities better, to make repairs so that we as Americans can enjoy our parks. But a chunk of that money has been diverted to this event that Trump wants to hold in front of the Lincoln Memorial. Oh, why are you doing this to Lincoln? Trump is going to invite America, but it's not America. He's inviting all Republicans. Here's what he did. He actually invited all the Republicans to attend the event and did not do so to the Democrats. He handed out tickets to the event to hear him. He's going to be speaking at the event. He's going to do a speech in front of the Lincoln Memorial on the steps there. So he gave out tickets to the Republicans and none to the Democrats. This is how we celebrate America for Don. We split our country in half. That's what we do. I don't even think it's half, to be honest with you. Not only that, Donald Trump has handed out these VIP tickets to guess who? His political campaign donors. People that gave him money for his campaign are getting free tickets to the event. Ladies and gentlemen, I shouldn't say free tickets, VIP tickets to be up close so you can actually smell the orange makeup on his face. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not America. July 4th is a celebration of independence. Do you know how we celebrate our independence? We spend time with our families. We have a cookout. We have a picnic. And we say, isn't it great to be free on this wonderful day? That's what it's supposed to be about. Not military exercises. And that's the other thing Trump is doing. He wants to have a military parade, just like the other countries do. Let me tell you something, Don. The United States does not need to show off its stuff. Every country in the world knows, or at least knew, that the United States is the most powerful country in the world. You just know it. And when you are on top, you don't have to go flaunting it. You don't have to go telling everybody how powerful you are. They just know. Donald, what you're doing is you're taking this country and you're putting it on the level of other countries that need to display their might to make sure everybody else knows. You've brought us down a lot of notches here. Apparently, there can't be a full military parade of tanks because the tanks will chew up the streets of Washington, D.C. But the tanks will be on display. You're welcome. Tanks, you're welcome. They'll be on display. Trump is going to do as much as he can to make this a military show of strength on Independence Day. There's going to be a number of flyovers by various military aircraft, which is quite costly, by the way, and other military demonstrations in Washington, D.C. We've turned this into a Bastille Day, which Donald Trump actually produced an orgasm when he went last year to see Bastille Day in France. He said to himself, this is nice, I like this, and I'll give a big speech and I will be known as the Big Donald. Well, here's the thing with speeches on Independence Day for Donald Trump. They're written for him. This is the Wizard of Oz thing that I was referring to when I played the little Wizard of Oz, if I only had a brain. This is the Wizard of Oz. Donald Trump is the quote-unquote wizard behind the curtain. He's really just a guy, a schmuck. Speeches are written for him, as they are for every president. But with Donald, if he were to talk as Donald Trump and just talk as the personality of the president that you elected, it would be a fiasco. So they write this word for him, and he just reads the script. This is not a display for our country. It's not a thing for our country on July 4th this year. It is a Donald Trump day. It is a day where it's Donald Trump President Day is really what it is. And he's using patriotism as a guise to forward his campaign. giving VIP tickets to campaign contributors, giving VIP tickets to Republicans, Republican congresspeople, but not the Democrats. They were not handed out to Democrats. This is supposed to be a nonpartisan every American day. But Donald once again has turned this into a celebration of Donald Trump. Oh, so he thinks. And that's what's happening on July 4th.
Yes, of course, you could have a podcast show host who's congenial and conversational and talks to you like you're both on the same level and discussing the issues of the day. But come on, isn't having a grumpy old bastard who hates just about friggin' everything way better? This is the Ron Van Dam Show.
Wow. Oh my goodness, huh? Well, anyway, July 4th is a day where we barbecue things. That's how we celebrate our independence. We char them. How are you going to celebrate your independence? Have a hot dog. Have a hot dog. By the way, if you love hot dogs as I do, and actually I'm turned off to hot dogs, when I see one, I actually get sick. But at the same time, I want one badly. This is the one day, I think Memorial Day, July 4th, and Labor Day, those are the big three summer holidays, you're allowed to have a hot dog, but just one. Let's not overdo it. Let's not put things in our mouth that we're going to regret, and I mean that the way you think I did. Be very careful what you put in your mouth. I spent yesterday, I believe it was, talking about potato salad. I know. I don't know how I exist like this either. And I get paid to do it, and yet I talk about potato salad. This is ridiculous. This is absurd. But I warned you against keeping food outside. In the Northeast, this show is out of the Boston area, and it's hot. Temperatures nearing 90 degrees, and you can't leave food outside. You can't even leave people outside. Don't even leave people outside. There are warnings about leaving your dog outside for an extended period of time in this type of heat, although your potato salad is just fine. That's not a problem. Dogs, human beings, don't stay outside. Potato salad, yeah, no problem. Well, what do we do with the potato salad? Just put it in your mouth. Let it sit outside with the mayonnaise and all that stuff. Put it in your mouth, and then you'll see how good you might be at that point. It's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. But this is the way we used to eat, apparently. I went to a place yesterday that had a dinosaur display, and there were all kinds of sauruses. There was plethosaur and oxysaurus and Boston snore. Apparently, there were like a lot of different types of dinosaurs, and they all were like plebosaurs, blah blah blah, plimlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlumlum floored me. I mean, it didn't floor me to the point where I stood there and had an epiphany or everything, but I had heard that dinosaurs did not all exist at the same time. In other words, species of dinosaurs had actually died out. Dinosaurs were on the Earth for a long time. And the closest animal that we have still on the Earth now that resembles dinosaurs are birds. Birds are very dinosaurish. Yeah. Birds? And then I stared at a bird yesterday to see if that was true. And yeah, they're kind of dinosaurish. I didn't say dinosaurish. Oh, isn't that an interesting thing? Let's find out how old you are. Okay, let's find out. Listen to me. Don't respond again. This is rhetorical. How many times do I have to tell you that? If you know who Dinah Shore is, D-I-N-A-H, last name Shore, like on the shoreline, S-H-O-R-E. If you know who she is, raise your hand now. Oh, look, some of you know, yeah. You know what I'm seeing is those of you that are raising your hands that you know who she is are older than 50 years old. Those of you that did not raise your hand are the millennials, who are like 30 and under. You have no idea who she is, do you? No, she's not the prime minister of Israel. Not anymore. No, she was an entertainer. She was an entertainer. She was a singer. Well, actually, she sang really poorly. She really did. She was a horrible singer, but yet she was a singer. I think in those days, it didn't matter. It's like the Kardashians. You know, it's like as human beings, they're not really human beings. They don't do anything. This Dinah Shore was an entertainer, and she didn't really, kind of really, she wasn't real talented. I don't know why she was even popular. All right, now raise your hand if you know who she dated for a long time, a very famous actor. Raise your hand if you know who she dated for a long time. Oh, there are not many of you. Even those that are over 50 don't. She dated Burt Reynolds. Millennials are saying dated who? Burt Reynolds. Was he the Prime Minister of Canada? No, he wasn't the Prime Minister of Canada. It's funny that when you get old, it's so funny. When you get old, there's a split. You start realizing your age, not because your body is falling apart, which it probably is. It's not because of that. It's because you disconnect from the population. All of a sudden, your people are not like prominent anymore. I watch a lot of television. No shit. I watch a lot of television, and I watch game shows and all that kind of thing, and I watch a lot of television. And the names of the celebrities now, I have no idea who they are at all. Especially on game shows, they use these quasi-celebrities, and they call them celebrities, but I have no idea who they are. And even when they tell me on the show who these people are, I've still never heard of them, nor have I ever heard of the shows that they're on. They are celebrity nobodies, or are they? I don't know. And today on the Celebrity Family Feud, these six people on this side and these six people on this side, I think it's five, I don't really know. And I've heard of none of them whatsoever. I don't know any of them whatsoever. They're not celebrity. I've never heard of them, any of them. They don't look familiar. I don't even know what they do. I have no idea what they do. I'm disconnected. I've become disconnected. They have not connected me anymore. Those are strangers to me. I've become disconnected. And that's when I start feeling like, okay, I guess that's about it now. I'm disconnected. Over the years, it's been very gradual. It's not like one morning I woke up and everybody that I knew is not there, and everybody that is there, I have no idea who they are. It's not like that. It's been happening very, very gradually without me even knowing it. Nobody told me. Nobody told me there was a shift in celebrity status, that we're going to replace all the people you knew as celebrities, Ron. We're going to replace them with people you don't know. I used to go to a website when the internet had just been invented by Al Gore. It was called Dead or Alive, and it wasn't about a Western. See, again, millennials, what do you mean about a Western? What does Dead or Alive have to do with a Western? Okay, all right, I get it. The Dead or Alive thing was you'd type in a person's name, a celebrity's name, and you'd find out if they were dead or alive because you hadn't heard from them in a while and you didn't know what was going on with them. And I stopped doing that because the preponderance of those that were dead was a bit overwhelming. It was like, uh-oh, this is not working out for me. Again, another barometer of age. Those celebrities that I grew up with are basically dead. Oh, no, that's not like a good thing. And those that are alive, I have no idea who they are. I typed in their name because I didn't know who they were. Not to see if they were dead or alive. I didn't know who they were. I had to find out what they did. I actually found out that one of them was the Prime Minister of Canada, to be honest with you. Our guest is in the wings and ready to twist my nipples, so let's get ready.
Here on the Ron Van Dam Show, our policy is anything goes.
Do not twist my nipples.
Okay, almost anything goes. You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Podcast.
Louise Howe is communications team member with the Country Hen, and we're talking about, well, National Scrambled Eggs for Dinner Day, which is, it should be always. It's not just a particular day. When I was younger, eggs were strictly for breakfast, and that's it. We have nothing to talk about beyond that. Obviously, that's not the case anymore, I assume.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. We love eggs so much, and now the foodie culture, we're finding any way to use them that we can, so that means breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, and so yeah. On National Scrambled Eggs for Dinner Day, we're really just taking this really great ingredient and transforming it into what our bodies need.
Mm-hmm. There was a time, I think I'm a little older than you, I'm not sure, but I think I am. There was a time when I was growing up where they told me, don't eat a lot of eggs because there's cholesterol in it and it's not good for you. Then I come to find out within recent decades that, hey, it's actually is great protein for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the cholesterol in eggs is something that doctors and nutritionists have debated. Mm-hmm. And what our consensus is now is that they actually are healthy for you. The cholesterol in eggs shouldn't be something that we should be concerned about.
Right.
Of course, everything in moderation. But what we're finding eggs give our bodies is just some really, really high-quality protein. And
yes.
That trumps a whole bunch. It's that protein that will keep you going throughout the day.
Oh, you said Trump by mistake. Okay. Anyway, let's talk about eggs themselves, some egg facts. They are full of protein, first of all, and those of you that don't want to eat meat every single day, this is a way around it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. So eggs have, on average, about 6 grams of protein per egg.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of us, when we're cooking, we use 2 or 3 eggs in an mm-hmm. omelet or in an egg scramble. So right there, you've got yourself set up for some really strong protein.
Yeah.
They also have tons of vitamins in them. But along with that complete protein, they have every amino acid our bodies need. They have iron, mm-hmm. calcium, vitamins, every vitamin actually, except for vitamin C.
Mm-hmm.
So when we eat eggs for dinner, like we're recommending today on National Scrambled Eggs for Dinner Day, we're sort of nixing the carbs that usually come with an American dinner and replacing those with protein, mm-hmm. something that our body can actually use.
Yeah. I got into omelets at one point because you can put anything in an omelet, and I mean anything. And it's a great way to consume your leftovers by simply putting them in an egg instead of doing it with bread. And it's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, it is. And, I actually had a family member the other week. They had leftover pizza. They diced that
yeah.
up and put that in
yeah.
in an omelet, and
sure.
they loved it. Yeah.
Anything goes. Now, there's. I know people have various tastes and ways of doing things, but every once in a while, I'll come across the perfect scrambled egg, and I try to mirror it. What is your impression of the perfect scrambled egg? What are the ingredients?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I think it's something that everyone is always sort of searching for, right?
Yeah.
So I always start with the quality ingredients that I know mm-hmm. I want in my end result. So that's why I only buy the Country Hen. Mm-hmm. The yolks are brighter yellow.
Mm-hmm.
They'll stand up. The consistency of the egg, you'll just notice a difference. And then when you're scrambling your eggs, when you start with those high-quality ingredients and a high-quality egg, you don't necessarily need to add the milk or cream.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us grew up with that or know lots of people that add cream in their eggs for a little bit of fluff. But when you start with a high-quality egg, you don't really need that. You just add a little bit of air in there by whipping them. And then another trick that tends to surprise people, when you get the eggs in your pan, make sure that pan is heated to where you want it to be, and then don't add salt until your eggs are more fully towards the end of the cooking process, right? So salt will actually break down the eggs and make them a little bit more watery. So, you know, that's a trick that I learned a little while ago, and you'll get some pretty fluffy eggs that way.
Yeah, I saw some people like them fluffy, some people like them loose. This is just all different. It's, I guess it's a matter of taste, I suppose.
Yeah, and recipe for sure.
Yeah, I like not using milk because that adds, you know, if you're concerned about the cholesterol thing, well, then don't do the milk. You don't need it. Yeah, not a bad idea. Tell me about the difference between eggs. You mentioned country hen. How significant is the difference between that and a what you might find in a supermarket for 99 cents?
Yeah, exactly. So the difference between an egg like the country hen and conventional eggs, like those supermarket eggs that you can maybe tell aren't as well taken care of, first of all, the life of the hens is what's most important to me. I know that these hens are working hard to get me their eggs, and so I want to make sure that they're living a healthy and happy life. And so what you want to look for is something like cage-free or free-range.
Yes.
And as long as the hens are healthy and happy, you're going to get a really high-quality egg. That's actually hard for a lot of egg producers, right? Because they're selling eggs nationally, or they're just not necessarily concerned about that part of the process. So the country hen is local. You know that your eggs are coming from local farmers. That's really what makes a true difference for
me.
And you can taste a difference too.
So I guess we're suggesting that everybody do the country hen thing and do some eggs for dinner, and you might be kind of surprised about, you might be doing this a couple of nights a week, actually.
Yeah, for sure, definitely.
Yeah, I like a nice salad with scrambled eggs. It's that's what I like. That's what I like. It's the direction I go in. Anyway, you can get some tricks and recipes and all kinds of tips from the Country Hen. Where do we go for that?
You can visit www.countryhen.com.
Great. Louise Howe, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Pleasure. I believe that was some semblance of an entertainment program there. I hope you enjoyed it. I'll be back again tomorrow. I'm not sure if I'll be here tomorrow on July 4th or not. I might be. I might not be. I have a feeling I will, because I provide endless entertainment. It's what I do. So check me out tomorrow. See if I'm around. I know everybody will be doing something else, so I think it's just going to be you and me, but whatever the case, whatever. Have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful day. I wish you peace.